Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump in Paris for the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. Before the ceremony, he met at the Élysée Palace with President Emmanuel Macron, who thanked Trump for his support when the fire broke out in 2019.
You were at that time present for the first time, and I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Before departing for France, Trump continued to voice his support for Pete Hegseth, his nominee for defense secretary, who's denying allegations of sexual misconduct, excessive drinking, and financial impropriety. The FBI has joined the search for the killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York City. Authorities have recovered a backpack they believe belonged to the shooter. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor. Today marks 83 years since the Japanese attack that killed more than 2,300 American service members. This is ABC News. Federal government's going to begin testing raw milk supplies to try to find bird flu. ABC Steve Osunsami has more.
The federal government says that the newly ordered tests of raw milk samples for bird flu will start in less than 2 weeks. They'll take place at large dairy processing facilities in about 10 states as the USDA tries to drill down what farms and which herds are infected. Right now, how big of a problem this is a bit of a mystery.
Pasteurized milk, the kind bought in grocery stores, is safe. Students for Fair Admissions, the group that eventually succeeded in overturning affirmative action in terms of college admissions, is trying to do the same at military academies, saying that violates the Equal Protection Clause. But a federal judge in Maryland disagreed with their effort for the Naval Academy, saying criteria for service academies is fundamentally a military personnel issue under executive branch authority. The group vows to appeal. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's the center of the kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massinellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News, your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aysen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who air the most misinformation. Aysen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or a disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the low to mid 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 26. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 30s on your Sunday. For Sunday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 30. Slight chance of snow Monday, mostly sunny, otherwise 40.
It's 39 at our studios.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for our first look at our week's weather. And Andy Parks with the Brown County Civic Music Association will tell us about their upcoming Christmas concert with Copper Street Brass Show.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish, alongside the great, the powerful, Wizard of Wisconsin, Danielle Fairman and Ellie Mae Smoller joining us in the studio today. Man, is there a better week in the state of Wisconsin, Danielle? Is there a better week than the week before Thanksgiving? I mean, really?
Absolutely
for hunting.
Not. Absolutely not. Everything you can do out there, you can do, especially the deer hunting for the gun deer season, which I did not get a thing.
I didn't either.
Whoa. What?
We did like deer drives and
you guys
hunted
like
every
real
single
hunter,
day.
Lady, women, hunters.
Hunters.
You guys are like
hunters.
For real hunters.
It was
and
a strange season.
Why?
I just feel like all the big boys were gone by the time hunting rolled around. You know, I think the rut was definitely early this year.
I think the rut was definitely early. I mean, I saw them running around on Halloween for sure.
Right.
I mean, and
well,
before
that's usually
Halloween.
When the rut is, though. Right. Halloween is like prime time, the
golden
day.
Yeah, but I feel like
day.
Last year we almost had, you know, it was earlier rut and then it happened again. Like there was kind
two
of a
ruts.
Late situation.
Yeah. There's just so much going on. It makes me so excited because you've got goose is open, duck is open. It's the last week for duck in Wisconsin. The gun deer season starts. Turkey is open. I mean, grouse, pheasant, everything is open in Wisconsin. And the greatest thing about it, honest to God, is like being able to use what you kill to make Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I definitely would have had a turkey for Thanksgiving, an actual live turkey, but I had a 30-06. I didn't really want to shoot the turkey. That was like 20 yards away with
in
a
30-06. You can kill a turkey with a 30-06. With a rifle in Florida, you can, but it does take, there's something it kind of takes away from it if you're not getting those turkeys up tight and, you know, and taking a nice ethical shot with a shotgun.
I also made a friend out in the woods when we were doing a deer drive.
You made a friend in the woods during a deer drive?
Yeah, you want to know what it was?
Well, it's better than making enemies during a deer drive, that's for sure.
It was a cat. A cat came up to me and just sat with me. They were driving towards me and I'm just sitting
That's
there
precious.
By a tree and I'm hearing something behind me, obviously too light for a deer. I'm like, what is this? Maybe it's a bunny. It's definitely not a squirrel because it did not sound annoying. But then all of a sudden this cat just
did
meowed at me and I'm
Danielle?
Like,
what did you
adorable.
Name it?
Did you
what did
name
you name
it?
Your woods cat?
I did not name it. I said, hello, meow, meow.
Meow meow.
Oh, meow,
meow. Meow meow. Let me tell you what I'm so the Fowl Life was in town. We did a ton of shooting. For the show, we did interviews with Annie Schwartz, the monster. And you can go back to the podcast. You know, you can listen to our podcast Raised in Wisco on Danielle.
On Spotify. You can listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to us on YouTube, Facebook, and Civic Media. civicmedia.us that raised in Wisco. I'm going to the thumbs up from Jess. Yay, right. Me. High five.
Good. Well, I, you know, oh, and I would.
Did I say Spotify? Yeah, it was Spotify.
You did say Spotify.
Apple Music.
Yes.
There we go.
I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. And if you want to listen to us, you can listen to us live on Saturdays on any civic media station throughout the great state of Wisconsin. So we had this week, which is just kind of the culmination of the hunting season here in Wisconsin. And the weather was great. The weather got a little colder. Mm-hmm. I think it got the deer up and moving. I hunted goose, ducks. I killed a turkey and literally made it for Thanksgiving. I'll tell you that recipe coming up, which is an awesome recipe. And I had one day to sit in the deer blind. So I sat one day in the deer blind with my little nephew, Harrison, which was so cool. And right at the last minute, a doe came out and I had the 30-06 and, you know, shot the doe. Instant, very ethical kill. And I'm not even joking. Brad's Processing out in Watertown, they had that done. They've got it done already. It's in my freezer.
My
I picked it
That's
up
fantastic.
Today.
Wow.
That's crazy. And his stuff's so good. He probably doesn't want me telling people about it because he has so many. I came Thanksgiving night and I pulled up in his driveway and he and his wife pulled up there. They look at me. They're like, Joel, what are you doing? We're not open. You cannot leave that dead deer carcass here. And I looked at them and I as best I could, I put on my pouty eyes and he's like,
oh, little puppy dog eyes.
So I did gather. I went to go pick up the stuff. He's like, we can't leave it here. You got to pick it up. So I went and I put together a basket of provider spices and the
perfect.
Right wing sauce. And I gave him a nice little Christmas bonus on it. And so Brad.
It's a bribe basket.
It is a little bit of a Brad. It's a Bradley bribe basket. Brad's Processing. But it was great. What I'm really excited about, producer Jess, turn your mic on.
Okay. Ooh.
So now duck is closed already.
Yeah.
How
first.
Nutty is that? That
drives
me nuts how short the duck season is. Mm-hmm. Those things are so delicious.
They are delicious.
They're delectable,
I did not shoot
actually.
Enough this season, so.
I didn't either. I think I killed four and they're already gone. We had
of
Toughest
course.
Stone National Grill Master in town. They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone usually
they're
when
so
we the night of
delightful mm-hmm. eating wild mallard duck. But I want to talk to Jess because one of the cool things for me, I mean, I love the heat of it, but it actually gets to me, someone who hunts, and you guys can speak to this too. When you're that excited about hunting, you don't know what species to hunt when they're all open.
How do you choose?
It gets like confusing and frustrating. Mm-hmm. So when the seasons start to close, it actually gets a little better. And Jess, our producer, is going to go turkey hunting with us for the first time ever in her life. She's going to hunt with us. And I want to know, so we put a date on the calendar, Jess. I want to know I want the listeners to hear this because one of the things this show is important to this show and important to us on this show is bringing new people into the comfort zone of hunting or being part of the outdoors or fishing or just enjoying Wisconsin for what it has to offer. I want to know, you as somebody who has never been exposed to this in your life, we've become friends and work colleagues with and work fantastic with. This is something so outside of anything you've done before. What are the thoughts and feelings that you're going through as the time gets closer for us to hunt together?
I'm really excited to experience this because I've been trying to be more conscious about eating well, not just for myself, but for this world, for the environment. And so much of the food that we eat is traveling thousands of miles to get to us.
Yep.
And
yes,
the meat that we're eating, that it comes from animals who did not live good lives.
Yeah. I mean, mean purchased meat.
A lot of purchased meat from stores is coming from animals that lived their entire lives in a small cage.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just hit on something that's not talked about enough. You know, you're always going to have the people who are diehard hunters and diehard Second Amendment people. And then you're always going to have the people who are diehard anti-hunters. You're going to have those on the fringes. But I've always said, if you are a meat eater and we keep moving more toward a paleo, we're learning that protein is really one of the healthiest things you can put in your body. And then if you want to talk about eating organic protein, the animals we're hunting are living off the land. I mean, when mm-hmm. we hunt ducks and geese, they're living in some remote corner of Canada for, you know, 9 months out of the year. Very often they're eating grasses and wild rice and the things that, you know, and they are eating from farm fields. Yes.
Oh yeah.
But one of the things that I think brings the right and left philosophies politically together is this commonality of wanting to eat healthy food.
Absolutely.
And if an animal lives its entire life free mm-hmm. and gets whacked one day, to me, that's almost more ethical than an animal that's born in a cage, raised in a cage, and killed for food.
I think that's quite true. And that's one of the reasons why I've been interested in hunting. And it was not something that I ever thought that I had a path to get to.
And then God works in mysterious ways, Jess.
That is true. So it was a bit of kismet to be paired with you as your
Ooh,
producer.
Good word too.
And I'm really excited for this opportunity. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have to be honest. We had Anastasia was our producer for quite a while, and we got along great, and it was fantastic. And then we found we were going to have a new producer, and as always, there's just a little bit of, you know, wonder: is it going to work out right and everything?
Sure.
And I'm so glad to have you back outside the fishbowl there for us, helping us out, because
absolutely,
it makes me. And I have to tell you, I make no mistake about it. I'm downright giddy about it because there's nothing more exciting to me than bringing somebody from the outside to the understanding or insight mm-hmm. of what's in my brain. I do it to a fault.
I don't think any of us know what's going on in that brain so far into that.
Okay. That's,
I mean, there's so many layers of cowboy hats that you have to get.
You went right to cowboy hats?
I did.
I have so many hats.
I know.
I wear so many hats.
I know.
You can, sure. Make fun of the old guy who's in the room. That's fine.
It comes from a place of affection. You know it.
I'm fine with that. But it makes me downright giddy to help expose people with the understanding that I never put the pressure on them to enjoy it or like it. But I think that in life, there are understandings that happen between people. And hunting in the outdoors, fishing, even kayaking, something you'll never catch me in a sideways banana, in even mountain climbing, all those things, those are things that we can find commonalities in. And I'm not trying to wax like, you know, softy here, but when you have connections with people and you find what the connections are, you can so very often solve the other things in life that people end up fighting about or end up, you know, grousing back and forth about that are really not worth it. Because when you find commonality, all of a sudden you start to realize that, hey, that person, they're not crazy. They just have a different way of looking at things. And I think that is something important to me.
It takes all kinds of people to live the life we live.
It really mm-hmm. does. And I think that's one of the things, and you'd never ever say to yourself, hunting is that common denominator that's going to bring people together. But Danielle,
it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
think
it is.
It's connected to food, and food, everybody has a great unit.
Food is spiritual. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
What we eat and drink into our bodies becomes part of our souls. And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that is why the ritual of sitting together and breaking bread is so important. Mm-hmm. And you know, Danielle and Ellie, don't you just get this overwhelming feeling when you bring someone into it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Ellie. I know you bring tons of people being what you do.
I think it is so rewarding.
I want to hear about that, but I'm curious because it really does mean so much to me. And that is one of our goals on this show, is to share that with people. And I know because of my last name and because of what I did for a living and because of who my wife is, I know there are people who prejudge me based on what they think they know about me. And part of the neat thing about Raised in Wisconsin Civic Media is I get an opportunity to show people that we can all get along and figure mm-hmm. it out together. I can't wait to tell you about this recipe and the hunt coming up.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate.
As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman.
Joel Clayfish.
I like how we just did that right there. That was good. That was like on cue and planned almost. You know, we're talking about what it means to bring somebody into hunting, into the hunting world. And I don't mean to just specify it on hunting, but I think to me, hunting is kind of the most visceral of the outdoor activities. I mean, let's be honest. It's the most, it has an element of violence. It has
everybody loves a good violence.
It has an element of care that must be taken for the safety and literally life of other human beings.
Absolutely.
It has an element of the gravity of taking a life in order to do it successfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're killing an animal, which I think is not something to be taken lightly. We're
absolutely
talking with
not.
Jess, the producer. You know, first off, let me just tell you, I want to welcome you. We'd love to have you along on Raised in Wisco on 13 Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin Saturdays. You can hear our podcast. You can go back and listen and say, what are they talking about from that before show? Go back and listen. It's worth it. I'm not kidding. If you want
to
laugh.
I listen to it.
Do you really?
I hope so.
Well, I hope
it's fantastic.
You listen to it.
Whenever I need a good laugh.
Half the time you're on it, Ellie. Ellie Mae Smoller's in the studio with us today. Our on again, off again fill-in host. So it's great to have you here. And I'm keeping a little secret.
Ooh.
You know the secret, Danielle. I'm not keeping it from you.
Do I know the secret?
You do.
Do I know the secret?
Is it our secret?
I'm not sure
Jess
knows. No,
triangle secret?
Is it super secret?
No. We didn't listen.
What kind of triangle, Danielle?
I just say I'm never the one to walk on the line here. If it's ever walked on,
right.
Danielle
is
the one.
My name is Danielle Fairman. I cross the line.
Uh-huh. I'm familiar with
yes.
it.
This is the
my
circle
purpose of this
our
show.
Our circle of trust extends beyond the fishbowl into the producer's lounge. I just want to say. And Jess is our
everyone's doing great.
See, my purpose of the show.
Take a deep breath.
This is why I listen to the podcast.
Even Bandit's laughing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bandit
internally.
I'm laughing inside, too.
The secret.
The secret that's coming up, I'm just going to say this.
Bush's baked beans.
No.
Oh.
The secret has to do with Danielle.
Ooh.
Ellie.
Yes.
Jessica,
and our new friend.
Jessica.
Not producer Jess.
And not producer Jess. A different Jessica. And.
And.
Palmettos. Palm trees and wild boars.
Yeah, now I know what it is.
So yes. Excited. Yeah, we've talked about it in front of you, Jess. I'm so excited to talk to you about that. I'm stuttering.
I've known you for how long? You never stutter.
From time to time, I do, evidently.
Friday, we are heading to 75. I am.
We're, okay, everybody, we're heading south on Friday.
Yes.
Hold on.
This is called a tease in radio. Jessica.
Danielle, we have to button up the secret.
Jessica is Jess Producer Jess is burying her head in the fishbowl right now, but she's laughing, and that's always one of my goals. Let's get back on track for a minute.
There was a track?
We're going to find it.
I take the road less traveled.
Danielle is famous for throwing us off base. I would like to point out to the people listening, there are no substances used in the creating of this show either, by the way. This is 100% stone sober natural.
Water and Mountain Dew.
Water and Mountain Dew.
And a burrito. Tonight,
Taco John's.
And hash browns in a bowl.
Taco John's. No, they're not hash browns.
They're tater tots.
Do not call a potato olé a tater tot.
Hey, what about finding that track?
Back on track with Jessica. We're talking about hunting literally being the most visceral of the outdoor activities. You have to be the most conscious of safety. You are taking the life of an animal in a successful hunt. You have at risk the lives of human beings. And so, and pulling the trigger on something and killing it, whether it's bow or gun or air gun, is a daunting responsibility.
Yes.
So we were talking with producer Jess, who is set up to hunt with us, and she was telling us a little bit, Jess, mm-hmm. about how you're excited but slightly apprehensive. What do you think goes through the mind of I want to know what goes through the mind of someone who's never done something as with such gravity as this before, because I'm always trying to drag people kicking and screaming mm-hmm. or walking into hunting with me, but I never want to be the person to force it. And I always want them to naturally feel they can go as far with it as they feel comfortable. So what is going through your mind? What was it like telling people you were going to actually hunt? What were some of the reactions of some of the folks, you know, who may or may not be hunters? I'm so curious about this.
Well, let me tell you this. I am one of those people who, if I see a spider in the house, I will get a little cup and I will take that spider outside.
Okay.
I will not squish it.
I'm going to interject right here.
Okay, sure.
Because I do that all the time. Ladybugs, butterfly, anything that I see that I'm not going to actually use,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to keep that life alive. Unless right. it's a mosquito yes. or some annoying yes. little
well,
bug.
Right. Mosquitoes are the only bugs that I will
decimate.
Yeah. I will murder a mosquito. However, I think that's self-defense because
that's
spiders
true.
Are also self-defense in my world.
Yeah, no, that's
so,
true too.
So what goes through my mind is that weighing of a life. And the thought that I've been sort of wrestling with is in that moment of trying to decide if I'm going to pull the trigger, I will consider the creature's life and that
as you should
and I do think that. So that's something that's been going through my head when I've told people that I'm gonna go hunting. Mostly they've been like, interesting. Okay. and they're like, how, why? And I've sort of explained my connection, and then it's sort of been like, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good experience to have, something nice. Something new. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of what's going through my head. And I'm excited to have this experience and just sort of see what it really is like.
Yeah, the pressure's on. I don't know if we'll ever even have anything in front of us that we'll have to contemplate pulling the trigger on. Nah. I mean, that's hunting, right? To hear you say that gives me such peace and joy. I can't even tell you that, because it, as somebody who loves it so much and has such a passion for it, to know that there are those out there who may have had a preconceived notion who are willing to step into the ring, whether they throw a punch or not, doesn't really matter.
I mean, if you put me in a ring, I will throw a punch. Okay. But.
but I think a common misconception of hunters is that, oh, they must hate animals. They're out there mm-hmm. killing them all the time. And that is something that's simply not true. I mean, I've nearly gotten in accidents stopping for a squirrel who couldn't decide which direction he was going to run.
Yeah, in me the too. Row. Stopping for turtles.
Yes. Yeah, at a four-way light, or at a light, about 2 dozen, 3 dozen geese are crossing. They're taking their sweet time. I park in the middle of the intersection with my hazards on, and I go out there and herd the geese. Yes. Like, hurry up, let's
go.
Oh,
I know.
Yes. Oh, I shut down a freeway.
I know. Yes, I heard the story, Danielle.
I shut down a freeway.
I don't know that story.
And you got to stick around
and their family.
Because we're going to talk about... The road trip for Raised in Wisco to Yeehaw Junction, Florida. Woo. What we're going to be doing there, what we can expect from toothless karaoke to some of the best catfish and swamp cabbage you could imagine.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump in Paris for the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. Before the ceremony, he met at the Élysée Palace with President Emmanuel Macron, who thanked Trump for his support when the fire broke out in 2019.
You were at that time present for the first time, and I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Before departing for France, Trump continued to voice his support for Pete Hegseth, his nominee for defense secretary, who's denying allegations of sexual misconduct, excessive drinking, and financial impropriety. The FBI's joined the search for the killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York City. Authorities have recovered a backpack they believe belonged to the shooter. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor. Today marks 83 years since the Japanese attack that killed more than 2,300 American service members. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Blocks it, Koenig! Step back three, straight on. Got it! Ice, cold, water, Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Stamps off another three. Booked it! Oh, my goodness! Don't wake him up! Greg Kaminsky, a single-game school record, 43 points.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Favic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Welcome to the Badger Shoot Around.
Fred Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee as we get you ready for the 131st meeting all time between the Wisconsin Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles. Alongside Brian Butch, I'm Matt LePay. Well, Butchie, you've lived this. You know what it's about. You grew up in Wisconsin. You've known about the rivalry. That said, I talked to Charlie Wills about this. He's from Indiana, but it didn't take him long to understand what the rivalry is all about. I know you knew going in, but were you educated even further those first few minutes on the floor in this matchup?
Well, I was educated when I was walking out the Bradley Center and a bunch of dentists were yelling at me and swearing at me and throwing what else at me. So
that's just a normal Saturday, isn't it, for you?
I thought so, yeah. No, I'm only joking, Marquette fans with the dentist, all right? I'm only joking about it. But it was different, to say the least. But it's also because teams were good. Yes. And when I played in it, they were really good. We were really good. That's what mattered. I'm talking to a bunch of the coaches throughout it. This is a game that is for the fans.
Yes.
Now, as a player, you understand the energy because it's brought from the fans. That's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, it does.
Because it's different because of the energy that's brought to the building, because the fans bring that energy to a building that you don't always get in every game.
Well, you talk about being really good in your playing days. These teams are coming off losses for the first time this season. But both of these teams would like to think this year that they're really good as well.
Well, they don't need to think. They are.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've watched enough college basketball so far to realize that both these teams are really good basketball teams. Now, a little bit different on how they approach it and what they do. But bottom line is both teams are going to want to shoot threes. They're going to want to get out and run a little bit. They're going to have to guard. They're going to have to get stops. And then I think the pace of this game is going to be really interesting. Marquette's going to want to get up and down and run. Wisconsin wants to run more this year. But at some point, you still got to slow it down a little bit against this Marquette team.
Yeah, we're about an hour away from the opening tip. Should be a lively atmosphere. I mean, it always is, right? That's a Captain Obvious statement. Especially over here, it seems. When the Badgers square off with the Marquette Golden Eagles, we'll visit with Jesse Temple of The Athletic. He's up next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, "I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is the Badgers pregame show, joined by Jesse Temple of The Athletic. We'll get into Marquette here in a minute, Jesse, but it's interesting, and I think it's still something a lot of fans, particularly around here, are getting used to, fans and maybe us for that matter. You go back to the Michigan game on Tuesday night, Wisconsin was 6 of 27 from the three-point line. And what bothered Greg Gard was they only took 27 threes. Too many non-rim twos, we talked about on Greg's radio show. So he would think at 6 of 27, oh, you got to go inside the arc more. Not necessarily, unless you're at the rim. It's just part of the evolution of how the college game is being played, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I've been so fascinated watching Greg and this staff adjust their strategy offensively, and for the most part, it has worked. And we've talked about this, Matt, but the objective is to get open threes, shots at the rim, and free throws. As they've discovered, the mid-range shots have the lowest points per possession mark out of any shots on the floor based on their advanced metrics. And so this is now the new norm for Wisconsin basketball. They're averaging a little over 26 threes a game. It's the most threes they've ever attempted in a season. And we've got a big enough sample size at this point to think that this is what it's going to look like. You just want to hit it at a little higher percentage to give yourself an opportunity to win some of these tough matchups.
One of the things down the stretch Tuesday night, Max Klesman has obviously made a ton of big shots in his time as a Badger. He has been struggling from the three-point line. Maybe the story, though, is that John Tanjay wasn't the one getting those opportunities. Michigan may have had a little something to do with it, but that was probably a tough one for Wisconsin fans in the game on Tuesday.
Yeah, obviously John came into that game averaging almost 23 points per game, which ranked 7th in the country, and you'd love to see him get some more touches down the stretch given what he's been able to do. On the other hand, I don't have a problem with the last couple threes that Max Klesmit took. I know he hasn't been making them, but he's made plenty of big shots. If they're reasonably open, then I think you would want him in that spot. And he had made a mid-range jumper to give Wisconsin a 64-61 lead. There were just two possessions in the last 2.5 minutes or so that I think you would definitely want back. One, the John Blackwell turnover, and the other one, the shot that Max forced in the lane. But the last two threes, if a guy like him is going to get open, I would take that.
Yeah, his body of work will suggest that he will get out of this. I know Marquette fans are pretty worried about the shooting slump that Max is in because he's had some big moments. Obviously, the 21-point first half last year and the game-winning shot in overtime 2 years ago against Marquette. I know Badger fans kind of locking in on Marquette. They do have balance, talking with Greg Gard about this, but Cam Jones is clearly one of the best players in the Big East and certainly has to be in that conversation with one of the better players in the country.
Absolutely. You know, I had an opportunity to cover Marquette's first two NCAA tournament games last season. The Athletic sent me out to Indianapolis, and I got to watch how he and Tyler Kolek played off each other. Kolek has obviously moved on, but Cam Jones is a phenomenal scorer. He leads the team at 19 points per game, but he's shooting 58% from the field and 41% from three, so he can do it in a variety of ways. The thing that I think really stands out about this Marquette team, if you look at all five starters, those are some guys that have been around the block here, and they've seen a lot of college basketball and played together, and that's one thing that is unique in this college basketball era, guys that have played together for multiple seasons.
Yeah, no, I think with Cam Jones, he had a tough night shooting against Iowa State, but he still almost had a triple-double, which tells you the value of Marquette. And this is interesting to me, Jesse, because once again, you got a Marquette team that's really good, aggressive, tenacious defensively. And how is Wisconsin going to be able to protect the basketball and get into its offense? Is that what stands out to you, or what is your storyline here, the path to a win for either Marquette or Wisconsin today?
Well, obviously, we've seen Shaka Smart and how tenacious those defenses are, and can Wisconsin get the shots that it wants? We talked about the three-point attempts before. I think Wisconsin is going to keep shooting them. To me, it's how many of those can they make? And also, guys like Stephen Crowell and Max Klesman, who have been leaders here for a long time, can they give you a little more? Stephen Crowell was obviously battling foul trouble against Michigan, but you want to get your best players playing their best in big moments, and this is certainly one of them.
Yeah, this is a fun one. Always is. I'm sure it'll be a pretty feisty atmosphere at Fiserv Forum here today. He is Jesse Temple of The Athletic. Stay with us. More to come as our pregame coverage continues. We'll hear from Chief of Staff Mark Vandewettering about putting that non-conference schedule together back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for some delicious new appetizers for watching Badger games at home? Jones Dairy Farm meatballs, bacon, Canadian bacon, Braunschweiger, and all-natural sausage can be worked into so many tasty recipes. Visit jonesdairyfarm.com/recipes to learn how to make cheesy sausage sliders, bacon-wrapped tater tots, creamy Braunschweiger dip, and more. Here's a quick one to try. Just take a bag of Jones all-natural chicken meatballs, drop them in a slow cooker with some buffalo sauce, grab your blue cheese or ranch, and that's it. Cheer on the Badgers with Jones.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows, and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Hi,
Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
Our pregame coverage continues. Time now for our Badgers Spotlight as we check in with Badgers Basketball Chief of Staff Mark VandeWettering. Among his many duties is putting together a non-conference schedule. Of course, this one with Marquette that's been in the books for many, many years. You just try to match up the dates. But we asked him the general goal each year as you put together those non-Big Ten games.
As we look at each individual season and each individual team as we go through it, you know, we want to make sure that we're challenged and well-prepared for the Big Ten. We know that we play in a league that's going to challenge us night in and night out, and we need to make sure our non-conference is built in a way that's preparing us for that. So what that means is we got to have a good balance of games that are going to challenge us at home and away from home. And build accordingly. So, you know, as we go through this season, you know, we were very strategic in our first few games. You know, kind of increasingly the level of competition got better as we got towards Arizona for game four. So, you know, just stacking wins that way, which worked out really well for us and prepped us for a game against Arizona. So, you know, as we go into the conference play, it's there's not as many nights off. So you got to be ready to go at all times. But as you're going through an initial part of a season, you want to get your feet underneath you a little bit and kind of challenging yourself bit by bit more to get ready for those big dogs that are coming.
There are different styles of play that you guys face with your opponents. They're different sizes too, which, you know, when you guys have Nolan and Steven out there together and you face somebody where 6'6", 6'7", is as tall, that's still a challenge, albeit a different one. That said, in this portal age that we're in, how much will you know about a roster makeup before these schedules are put together?
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly difficult, you know. So we look more at what they've been stylistically and the players that they've had in the past, because you really aren't going to know exactly how a team's going to look, you know. Like, for example, Appalachian State this year, really, really good team last year. Lost seven of their top eight guys, you know, so we knew early they're probably going to be a little bit of some growing pains for them as they put a whole new group together, but at the end of the year it's a really good game and a really good team, and it's going to look good for us. But, you know, if you can catch a team like that at the right time, it looks better as the year goes on. So you look at, you know, what they've lost without really knowing what they're going to get in, and then where they've been, what their head coach has done, if it's a new, you know, look at where they've come from, what they've done historically, and just try to get a better idea of what you're signing up for before you just randomly throw something out there.
It was a real coup to be able to do the home and home with Arizona. Mm-hmm. Beneficial for both programs in each of the last 2 years. How challenging is that to try to get a, you know, the quote, bigger name program to agree to something like that?
It is a challenge, you know, because they've obviously got a lot of obligations as well. You know, each school has, you know, a quota of home games that they both have to hit and different obligations that they have. So, you know, agreeing to play is probably easier, but finding the dates that make sense, you know, like we played on a Saturday in December there, you know, you ideally want these games on a weekend, you know, we're going to get a lot more eyeballs and fans are going to be excited for it, build up, like, so that's the ideal situation. And finding open weekends around finals and around other obligations, MTEs, can be a challenge, you know. So when it does work out, it's really rewarding because, you know, it's great for our fans to have a game like that at the Kohl Center, and it's obviously a great opportunity for our athletes as well to go and explore a place that they probably would never have a chance to play.
There is finding that match, and then there's finding arena availability and, you know, whatever television platform wants that one. I mean, that those are real too, and that I would imagine it can be a source of frustration at times. Like, you've got school A that, okay, they want to do this. Now you got to find a time when the building's available.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah, it's a challenge, you know. And, you know, when you have a date that you're kind of zeroing in on, you're calling the conference office and seeing what TV network has a window on that day, you know. And obviously the draft for the TV networks comes later in the off season. But, you know, if you can know that there's an ideal window that, you know, it might get picked up by Fox, NBC, CBS, you know, some of those games that you want to have a lot of eyeballs at home on too. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges that go into making those things happened. And you know, you're obviously, for us, in an arena that's shared with two other teams, and you're trying to find availability around when it's going to be in a basketball arena versus there's a hockey series coming, or a women's basketball have a game on their side too. So there's a lot of logistical challenges that go into it, but you know, it's a lot of moving parts. There's people involved that got it lined up for us.
That's Badgers basketball chief of staff Mark Vandewettering, and that's today's Badgers Spotlight. Stick around. The Notebook is up next as our pregame coverage continues. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
I'm so sorry I was late. I was at the retina specialist getting my first AMD treatment. I was worried that the injection would hurt, but it was much better than I expected.
I'm so glad you're getting your AMD treated. Did you go to the same retina specialist that I see for my diabetic retinopathy?
Yes, and I was already having blurred central vision. And the retina specialist told me that by treating it early, I had a better chance of saving and even improving my vision.
It's important that we see an expert for our retinal condition. A retina specialist also treated my son when his retina detached several years ago. The surgery saved his sight. When your vision is at risk from retinal disease, you need the expertise of a retina specialist. Retina specialists are highly trained physicians and surgeons who treat retinal conditions in adults and children, as well as severe eye trauma. If you experience blurred central vision, a curtain-like shadow in your vision, floaters, flashing lights, or wavy lines, see a retina specialist as soon as possible.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
We continue with our Badgers pregame show, Wisconsin and Marquette this afternoon. By the way, the tip time will be 12:40 Central. They're using the slide for this game, so 12:40 will be the tip between Wisconsin and Marquette. Rejoined by Brian Butch. I know you were busy, but you caught either a little bit on your way back from Bloomington and looking back at the replay of Wisconsin and Michigan. First, props to Michigan. I mean, Danny Wolf is as advertised. Greg Gard mentioned that, you know, there's some comps to Frank Kaminsky with what he could do, putting the ball on the floor and all that. Vlad Golden was a problem. But it was shot selection, not the number of threes being too high, but the number of non-rim twos. And that's just kind of the evolution of basketball right now. Like, I know we've mentioned it before, Butchie, but you know, the fewer mid-range shots, the better. And Greg thought they took too many against Michigan.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I think their transition defense was part of it as well. But if you look at but when you take bad shots, what happens? Transition opportunities. So I think that goes hand in hand. I think this game, it's interesting because they're going to want a high level or high number of threes. However, you got to watch the pace at when those threes come, because Marquette's going to try to bait you into taking some quick and early threes that might not be great threes, because they want to get out and run. So that's where you go from a Michigan game where you shot too many twos to emphasize, hey, we want to get more quality at the rim looks. We want to get more quality threes, but also saying, but we don't want to necessarily take the quick threes, because that's going to lead Marquette to running. So this is where this game is so difficult, because you've just come off of a game which you didn't play well, with some corrections that are very correctable. Now, can you do that against this Marquette team in a way that doesn't hurt you?
Yeah, you hit on a key point in this game, because Badger fans know that Wisconsin is playing, relatively speaking, at a faster pace. But you still have a contrast here today, because Marquette wants it to be frantic at times. And they get a lot off of their defense, too, right? Their ability to create turnovers. They get about 12 steals a game, among the very best in the country.
I mean, you got, you know, Stevie Mitchell and Chase Ross. Both those guys are averaging over 2.5 steals a game, which steals usually lead to live ball turnovers, which then usually lead to easy baskets. So you want to make sure you let and force Marquette to work in the half court. When they're out running, they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, you mentioned Chase Ross. He was considered doubtful. I think you can upgrade that here as you get ready. It didn't look great. He stepped on an opponent in their game against Iowa State, but all indications are he's up for this game. You mentioned Cam Jones, too. He had a tough night shooting the ball against Iowa State, and by his standards, it was a subpar performance, and he still almost had a triple-double. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists in the game. The usage rate is sky high. Maybe on the outside, looking in a year ago or the last couple of years, overshadowed by Tyler Kolek and also Igodaro, he was not overlooked here. People who watched Marquette have known. This is not a secret how good Cam Jones is, right?
No, he's ridiculous. And I mean that in a great way. Moved over the point guard position now. He's controlling this team. I think he's at times a little too unselfish still because he wants to get everybody else involved. He's the best player on the floor the majority of the nights that he's out there. And, I mean, and this guy averaging 19 points a game, and he's still being too unselfish at times. Now, I know that he's got to get other guys involved, and that helps with the chemistry and the flow of what Marquette wants to do offensively. They want to get the ball multiple sides of the floor. They want to really put pressure at the rim, and then they really work the alleys. And when I talk the alleys, it's kind of it's the low corner out to the three-point line, and they're really working a lot of ball screen action there as well. That puts a lot of pressure on the defense when you get the ball shifting. But he's in control of all of that and what he does and how he does it. He's fun to watch. Now, hopefully he's not fun to watch this afternoon, but he's fun to watch if you're a college basketball junkie.
Well, I'll tell you, in talking to some of my Marquette friends, they are very concerned because I've been telling them, I say, hey, Max Klusman's kind of struggling. And they say, shut up.
Yeah.
Because you know, 2 years ago, he had the game-winning bucket in overtime. Last year, he scored all 21 of his points in the first half. But he is scuffling. Put on your coach's cap, Brian, and coach's cap, you know, maybe part therapist, too, with Max. Because the body of work says he's a really important performer for this team. He shoots 37-38% from three in his career. What do you tell him right now?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm running a play a couple early and often in the game to get him going. Because one of the reasons he's struggling is some of the shots that he's taking aren't good shots. Because it's a dribble, try to go one-on-one. And then all of a sudden, you don't make that shot. And it trickles down to when you do have a good look, then you miss it. So for me as a coach, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get Max going early and often in this game. I'm going to run a couple of sets for him so he can see the ball go through the basket. The other thing I'm saying to Max, shot fake, get to the rim. But they're going to fly at you. They know you're a shooter. See if you can get to the rim, get to the free throw line. But early and often, I want to make sure that Max Klusman has the ball, touches the ball a lot, gets a good feel in this game early on.
All right, Badgers go into this game, the best free throw shooting team in the country. Didn't get there with the frequency that they had been against Michigan, but still 85% conversion rate at the foul line so far this season through the first 9 games for the Badgers. That is your notebook. More of our pregame coverage from Milwaukee is coming up. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems and ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is currently hiring correctional officers with a starting pay of over $33 per hour, plus scheduled increases and plenty of advancement opportunities. Plus, hourly rates increase for those hired for medium and maximum security positions. To learn more and apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
Hey, Badger fans. Tony Drake with Drake & Associates, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. How do you prepare for the big game? You strategize, right? Well, retirement is your ultimate big game. And without a solid plan, it's like stepping onto the court without practice. But here's the game changer. Claim your retirement-ready toolkit for free from Drake & Associates. Just text Bucky to 262-600-2782. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782. Our retirement-ready roadmap is your playbook for financial success. Let's slam dunk your retirement goals together, because at Drake & Associates, we're your winning strategy for a financial game plan.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.